Hello, and welcome to EQ Above IQ, Parenting with Emotional Intelligence and Healing the Inner Child. My name is Trina Casey, and I'm your host. Thank you for joining me this bi-weekly week, and I hope that you get a lot out of this episode. Thank you for all the listeners of the last episode. Thank you. I hope that you got a lot out of that episode. Please go back and listen to it as I talked about how we can kind of get ahead of this toxic masculinity crisis that we are dealing with as a culture and society and culturally, so that we can learn how to raise our sons in positive ways to respect and love themselves, and therefore respect and love the women and men partners in their lives. So in this episode, I'm going to be talking about a subject that is a bit related, but not exactly the same thing. As an African American, I have witnessed a lot of trauma, experienced a lot of trauma, and I see it run rampant in my community. I am a part of a group on Facebook of expats, Black American expats that have traveled the world, that live outside of the United States currently, or have at some point in their lives for an extended period of time. And on this board, it's really great. There's always people giving advice. There's always different perspectives shared about different countries that people are living in and what it really feels like to live as a Black expat. And I love the situations that I have read about and the questions that are asked and, you know, even parenting questions, how people are coping with certain things like schools and trying to get their kids, their third culture kids acclimated. If you've never heard that episode that I made about third culture kids, please go back to season two. It's a really interesting interview that I had, and I spoke to an expert or a specialist in the field, and she gave me a lot. Her name is Kate Berger. She gave me a lot of great info on how to help our kids who are third culture kids cope with traveling and what their traumas are and how we can help support them. So if you haven't heard that episode, go back and listen to that one. That was a really good one. But in this episode, I'm going to address the cultural differences of African Americans traveling abroad versus other cultures and the things that our children have to go through compared to, say, a corporate expat who's traveling to, you know, Europe or another country with their family in tow. They're going to have a bit of a different experience, some similarities, but usually a little less trauma. And that's because, unfortunately, as an African American, as a person of color, traveling abroad does not help us escape the same types of prejudice and hate that has been perpetuated against us due to colonialization and due to the propaganda campaign against us as early as the early 1400s, 1600s, about who, what, and how we are as human beings. The one that is most prevalent is that we're violent. And I hate that one because honestly, we're probably the least violent group there is. Because if we were, we'd be ruling this world right now. And so I'd like to really get rid of those stereotypes and those lies so that we can all live together in community with love and compassion, utilizing the five principles of emotional intelligence, which are self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation or purpose, compassion, and social skills or community quotient. The point is that we're all in this together, and situations like COVID has not made it easier for us. So as a traveling expat mom with child in tow, I have experienced a lot of really unsavory and disappointing behaviors from the people in the different countries I have lived in. My last experience in the Netherlands was absolutely deplorable. And there's more and more information coming out about their policies and procedures and things that have made life pretty unattainable for the entire world. As one of the first colonizers, we know how that went in South Africa and other parts of the world. So I'm not surprised, but I really wish I would have done my research before I moved there. But all that aside, moving on, I'm currently in Africa, and I still see some tinge of the issues that were perpetuated in the United States as well. So on this expat group, we were discussing something that kind of been a big topic and something that I want to work with our community, African-American community in particular, on this. There was a young man who asked about, out of two different countries, where he should live. And one of them was Dominican Republic and the other one was Colombia. And some of the female expats in that group, at which it is a majority, chimed in and asked him a few questions. Well, I want to be specific. He did mention that how much money he was making, and he's single, looking for friendly single women. And I think some of the women on the group, who are predominantly African American, took some offense to the wording of how he said it. And I understood, because it took me a minute to digest what he was actually saying as well. Both of those countries have a bit of a reputation for young, single Black males to go to kind of just play the field with the ladies. And, you know, I said to him that if he's looking for a wife, he can find that. Wife or a partner, he can find that anywhere. It's not necessarily that you have to go outside of the country. It mostly has to do with you and where you're at. So I said, before he travels, it's a really good idea that he gets some therapy. That inflamed and triggered a lot of people in this group. Well, not a lot. One in particular, a male. And I went back and forth for a while, because I genuinely am in the mind state of helping. It's not about judgment so that much. Even the young gentleman who asked the question, I told him, I'm going to be honest. You're talking about money. And if you're looking to pay to play and you're looking for subservient, you're going to have to go here A, B, C, and D. And I'm not going to mention the places because I don't want to offend, but it is historical and I've lived in these places. So I'm not going to mention them just to not to inflame or hurt any feelings, because they are generalizations. So anyways, I said that you would have to pay to play. And then a few other males in this particular group said on the screen, oh, like Asian wives make the best wives and this and that. And boy, it is just unbelievable how much conflict there is between the female and male community of African Americans right now. It's kind of scary. And that mostly is due to the fact that, you know, we have all this generational trauma that has yet to be dealt with. And because it hasn't been dealt with, we have always fought with each other over having a sense of power within the relationship. A lot of physical abuse towards the women. And it's understandable because of the history of slavery. But we are also raising our children in this environment, and it's just perpetuating generation after generation, generation. When you are raised and educated that the only thing you've ever been in your own country has been a slave that has been freed, you're going to have a lot of self-hate. And every one of us has dealt with something at some point. I remember When I started therapy for the first time, I was about 22 or 23. And I just didn't understand why I didn't feel loved and why I, you know, my parents said and did the things that they said and did. I had a lot of anger. And as a community, we've had this long-standing trauma started by enslavement, but also by the constant oppression based on the color of our skin. And raising a son who is actually biracial but presents more brown than anything. He's been mistaken as Indian. He's been mistaken as Egyptian. And even myself, depending on how I wear my hair or what language I'm speaking, I can pretty much acclimate into almost any culture in Latin America, in Egypt, Africa, most of the islands. So it's a long standing trauma. But the problem is that when we are starting to lash out at each other and say hurtful things, we perpetuate the problems. We also show our children that they are not valuable either, because how we treat each other and how we treat ourselves is how our children learn to see themselves. I'm going to repeat that. How we treat each other, how we treat ourselves, is how our children perceive their value. And so what is expected of a child who always sees violence, or who always hear puts downs, or always believe stereotypes around Black women? What happens when they do have a mother who has dealt with a lot of trauma but hasn't gone through therapy or hasn't owned it? They personalize it and they think it's them. And then that child grows up to resent the very person who probably loves them the most, but didn't know how to express it in a loving and caring way. So what they do is they seek communities that haven't been in that type of traumatic situation and live with a different dynamic, and they get treated differently. And therefore, they get the care, or they get the feeling of value outside the community, African American community. And I can say, even for myself, I experienced this. I married twice outside of the community because I just didn't feel valued by African American men. And now I am in the position of raising an African American man. And it's been quite difficult in some ways, because that programming and all the messaging that I received from my mother and other women about what this Black men are or not has come to the surface from time to time. And I've had to explain to myself, I always explain to myself, this is old, old programming, and it's not valid, and it doesn't apply to your son. So I have to do that. And sometimes, you know, those triggers that we experience as human beings, as parents, are so, so sensitive. It's hypervigilance, because the pain runs so deeply in our core. And if you're dealing with unresolved or unacknowledged pain, it's even worse. The beauty of emotional intelligence is that it brings self-awareness to the forefront. And that regulation piece stops you from doing and saying, or at least if you did it or you said it, you can have accountability for it later and take steps to repair. But self-regulation is so key in these situations. And I'm back to this little thread where I mentioned the word therapy, and man, one person got so triggered. He was saying, well, what do you know about him that you think he needs therapy? And my response was, I cannot diagnose an individual. I coach people, and until I have a one-on-one with them, I cannot diagnose or even begin to know what their actual issues are or how to evaluate their coping mechanisms or their ACEs or any of those measurements in order to try to facilitate healing. But what I do know and what I can diagnose is my community, the African American community, because the results are undeniable. We suffer from mental illness on a global scale, on a community scale. There's no way any one of us could have escaped it, either directly or indirectly. It is so a part of our history that it is very rare that one of us has never experienced some type of trauma. The ACE scores are usually very high in our community, and that is because we have lived in this perpetual state of oppression. And so, yeah, I said I can diagnose our community. And luckily for me, there were a lot of members who chimed in and agreed with me. But there were a few that just really couldn't even hear the word therapy without connecting it to some ideal of weakness or insanity. And, you know, if you're clinically insane, therapy is going to help, but that's not going to be the only thing that's going to work for you. You're going to need a little bit deeper, and sometimes I call it a mini vacay someplace to get your head straight. But the reason why I suggested to this person is, as a traveling expat and a African American woman living abroad for a good, it's been a long time, 2 decades on and off. I dip myself back in the U.S. once in a while, and I'm just reminded that that's not my place. I wish it was. I miss my family. I miss my friends sometimes, but it's just an energy of the place that still just carries this real heavy weight of mental illness that I don't find beneficial to be in my energetic space. So I keep a healthy distance and tap in once in a while to make a visit, but with COVID, that's even been difficult to do. So yeah, I'm overdue a visit to friends and family, but hopefully sometime soon I can go for a quick week jaunt over. That's as a week or two is as far as long as I can last in the environment as it is right now. And with the volatility of the U.S. right now, especially with race relations and political divide, it's just not a healthy space. So I digress. So basically, a lot of people were, not a lot, I'd say a few people were really inflamed by the word therapy. And I explained that I believe in therapy in general for everyone. Every man, woman, and child should have an opportunity to sit in the chair, to talk about how they feel and why they think they feel that way. It's processing, it's healing. And when you get underneath and you really tap into your inner child and the pain that he or she has experienced, you open the path to healing. And once that healing starts, it's like a domino effect. You and your environment change so dramatically. All of a sudden, you know what you want. All of a sudden, you can manifest the life and the dreams that you desire. But if you don't go through that step in this particular way, you could be dreaming and hoping for things and bringing actually negative things into your life because you're focused on the wrong things. The bling bling, the cars, the ladies, the butt lifts, all of the negative things that can really, really cloud the essence of who you are. And as a parent, it is so vital that we start addressing our traumas and our pain as soon as possible. And if you haven't had a child, please do that before you have children. I always say people who like animals, please get a pet of any kind to learn how to nurture and to take care of somebody else other than yourself. And also to see if you have the capability to actually manage your life with another responsibility. Sometimes that's even a challenge if you haven't been taught to do that. So I always think our furry babies are really great practice for our real human babies. And if you can love wholeheartedly with full capacity to your furry baby, you can definitely love your baby that comes from your womb or from your seed. Point is that you have lots of opportunities as you grow in your life to heal. It's only when you are in deep denial that you need healing that the problems arise. And we are all in need of healing. I don't care what your cultural background is. Quite frankly, I think those who have been in a position of privilege for all these thousands of years also need some great deep healing, because you've been lied to. You've been bamboozled. And that feeling of unsatisfaction has nothing to do with anyone else but yourself. It doesn't have to do with immigrant coming from another country to quote unquote take your job. No, it has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with an idea that, you know, somebody is less than you or whatever, and therefore shouldn't have certain opportunities like you do. No, that's your insecurity about your own abilities. So at the end of the day, this conversation I had with this group was so reminiscent to other ones that I have had over the decades of life that I've had. And it makes me just sad that we're still having this communication. But this is the effect, and this is actually the desired effect of division that certain people in power want. They want to keep us divided, male, female. They want to keep us divided racially. They want to keep us divided economically. They want our children to be educated in sort of militarized type of standardized testing environments so that they are forever comparing themselves to other people. And the cycle begins. And so does the pain. So I ask all of you listening to this podcast today to take some time for yourself, do a little cognitive behavioral therapy, which is, I want you to sit down and write down all of the lies that you think about yourself. And then I want you to leave a space and write down the truth, because those are the realities of our existence, this complete schizophrenic state of trying to find a way to love ourselves, but not quite being able to have the clarity to figure out why. And I'm going to tell you why you need to love yourself. The compassion and love that you feel for yourself on a daily basis is an energetic field that reverberates and touches everyone else in your life. The moment you start to feel down on yourself, someone, usually your child, is affected by it. I had a pretty rough morning this morning, and It wasn't anything in particular that triggered it. It was just, you know, PMDD, a lot of stress. I got enough sleep, but it's just, some days you just wake up on the wrong side of the bed. And what I really needed was a good cry and let down, and then I felt better. And, you know, I do that alone most of the time. Try not to do it too much in front of my son. Sometimes I do, but what I ask you all to do is have some compassion for yourself in this life, in this journey. Because if you don't have it for yourself, you can't have it for anybody else. End of story. Take down the facade, remove the mask, talk about what hurts with somebody. If you're not comfortable to go in the chair or anything like that, and if you want, of course, I am available. I am a certified CBT coach, cognitive behavioral therapy coach, emotional intelligence coach, parenting coach. Part of the reason why I love what I do and write the books that I write and speak when I speak is because I think it's so vital for us to be open and accountable for our emotions so that we can shift the dynamics that we're having with the people in the world and the people that we are family. We are all connected with one mother. And just be good to each other. Anyways, I hope you are shining and happy. And if you're not, reach out thisreallifebooks.com, click the coaching tab, check out the books. I even have some t-shirts and clothing line so that you can be reminded gently, gentle reminders that you are okay, that your kid is okay, and that this is a part of the journey. It's not an easy one, but it's a vital one for growth. And I just know humanity is being challenged right now to step up, to be the beautiful, light, divine creatures that we are. And we have to start loving ourselves so we can love others. And I hope that you have a blessed day.